on 1116 SEN. Hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett. The Penfold Holden, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family. And Flex Vehicle Management Service. Find out more at flexvs.com.
9:07, good morning and welcome to the program. The Hawks mean business tonight. The reigning premiers have 20 premiership players in their squad of 27 against St Kilda. Yet to win a game this challenge series, losing to Collingwood and North Melbourne, Hawks have taken a different path to last year when they smashed Brisbane by 131 points, North Melbourne by 65 and Melbourne by 110. I fear for St Kilda tonight, even though it's only a practice match, but the Hawks' dress rehearsal for Game 1 against Geelong will just remind us again of their awesome power, strength and depth. St Kilda is going to run straight onto the ground tonight and into positions. That's when the slaughter begins. I'm KB. That's my take.
Rough hit. His wings were clipped. He innovated well. Got it to Mitchell, to Hodge, to Hill. They're winding up. Bruce, tough angle. Puopolo, suckling around the corner. Oh, they've just about finished them off. Oh.
Gary Rowan brings it in on the intercept. Luke Hodge, thank you very much. There's another one for Hawthorn.
Goes short, finds Burgoyne, who goes bang.
What a player.
Back-to-back glory for the Hawks in the most devastating fashion.
9429 1116 is our famous talkback number, 0433 98 1116, if you want to send through an SMS. If you want to tweet at KevinBartlett29 or at Hungry for Sport, what will be the margin tonight? Because I fear tonight that the Hawks are going to flex their muscles getting ready for Geelong in round one. Coming up, Greg Venom Denham is about to join us, taking your calls. Ian Robson will join us from Melbourne Victory. Mark Worthington, Melbourne United captain. Basketball, of course, has been in the news, and Mark's going to join us in the studio talking about the future of basketball and taking your calls as well. Rodney Hogg with all things cricket, and the buzz, Johnny Ralph with his famous three stings. But coming up, Greg Venom Denham. Good morning, Greg.
Yes, good morning, KB. Well, thanks a lot. You've just turned off every Sydney Swans supporter that actually listens to us after that little grab of last year's grand final. But
they got thrashed last year. Hawthorn just toyed with them.
Well, of course Hawthorn are going to be at full strength tonight and going for it. I mean, they've got...
What's the margin going to be tonight?
Oh, who cares? Don't talk rubbish.
No, but they're going to flex their muscles tonight, Hawthorn. It's the lead up to Geelong, so...
That's what I'm... If you wouldn't interrupt...
They're going to be on show.
Well, of course. They don't play till Easter Monday, so, I mean, they've got to have... A really good, we've got a weekend off the following weekend. So they need the hard hit out. And I mean, they're a team that I think probably everyone's going to tip as being at least in the top three, top two, and many will tip them to go to get the three-peat. I mean, they'll become the first Hawthorn team to achieve that if they get through that. They've had a fantastic pre-season with really only Grant Birchall as the only casualty. They've added Frawley and...
They haven't won a game pre-season yet, Greg.
Kevin, please. They've added Frawley and O'Rourke. Anderson's almost like a new recruit who you would think would get a gig in round one. Last year, they coped with injuries to key players and their coach. They're probably the envy of the competition as far as depth goes. I think they've got the best depth by far of any other club in the competition. And they're really not vulnerable in any line. So then you get back to poor old Saints, who've got the longest injury list in the book. Revolt's been back at training now for about a week and a half, so he'll be okay for round one, but without a game under his belt. But if you look at the Saints, I mean, that couldn't happen at a worse time for them. They've got Billings out, Gilbert's probably out for maybe another 6 weeks, I'd say. Farron Ray's going to miss a couple of months. Seb Ross, the same. Sipos, most of the year. Jimmy Webster's out for another probably month. I mean, they don't really need these players out. Tonight we'll have a good look at some of their draft picks from last year. There's a big rap. I heard Joey Montagna talking about Loney. Said he was a big rap for him, so hopefully we see him run around tonight with also McCartan.
Goddard.
Spencer White, your man. Named in the squad. A lot of people will see him for the first time tonight if he gets a gig. And, of course, Ahmed Saad comes back. So, I mean, I think there's a lot to look at with St Kilda. I don't care about the margin, what it is or what it is, but I just think that Saints fans will be wanting to have a look at probably the real depth of the club tonight, because, as I mentioned, all those players out injured, the captain has still come back in. If they can see something positive, take something positive out of the young boys, I think they'll be okay.
Fan-friendly experience has been part of the AFL over summer, and we see tonight St Kilda's got a trial, what they say is a novel but potentially controversial pre-match routine as part of the AFL push to improve fans' game day experience. Warwick Green's got this story today in the Herald Sun. In tonight's game against Hawthorn, the Saints will delay their entry to the playing arena until moments before the siren. Now, the Hawks are going to spend, obviously, around about 10 minutes limbering up at the stadium before the Saints will tear through the banner, we're told, accompanied by the club theme song, and then run straight to their positions before the captain's coin toss and the opening bounce. Now, I'm not quite certain how they can do that without knowing which end they're going to kick to, Greg, but that's what we're told. They're going. Maybe they're going to preempt winning the toss and where they're going to be, but they're going to come straight onto the ground. Do you like all the fan-friendly stuff? What do the fans think about that, St Kilda fans? Just burst onto the turf and run straight to position and then bang, ready to go.
Well, aren't we going over the top a little bit here? Just a bit. I mean, enough's enough, I think. I mean, this is
a crescendo of noise has got to be built up. Since
yeah, that'll really happen. Look, I'm not so sure that it's such a good idea. Clubs are trying different initiatives to try and get the fans involved more. Some are good, some are hopeless. Like this, I can't see any benefit whatsoever to this. And obviously, what St Kilda are going to do is run out to the ground and have a kick around an hour or 40 minutes before whatever, when no one's there. And then go and hide inside and do a bit of warm-up and then run out with, as you said, with a minute or two to go. I mean, whoop-de-doo, big deal. It's not going to... I can't see... Surely clubs have got to do things to help them win games. That's far more important than appeasing a couple of fans that want to sort of shout out for a minute straight. But it should have been in the funny column, I reckon. It should have really... It's quite funny.
Okay,
I find it humorous.
Well, we'll find out...
You don't? Well, it's almost like, you know, we've heard things before where Essendon's going to try and dim the stadium. And
look,
put
I don't mind that. I don't mind
on.
That. I mean, I'd like to ask the fans, you know, what they'd like to see at the start of the game and maybe how their side enters the arena. For hundreds of years, of course, we've run onto the ground and we've run through banners and all that sort of stuff. Players don't seem to want to run through banners anymore. I mean, they put up, some sort of message, but... Seems the old days of actually running through the banner.
You can't run through banners anymore because every game you see, someone's carrying a young child, which is probably dangerous. So I'm a bit with BT there. I'm not so sure that's what everyone wants these days.
I really appreciate St Kilda. They've just given us a call because I didn't understand that they can run straight to their position before the captain's coin toss, because St Kilda's just called through and say the paper is incorrect today. They will run out a couple of minutes beforehand, then the coin toss will happen, then they'll move to their position. Now, that makes sense to me, but... In the Herald Sun today, they're saying they're going to burst onto the field, take their positions, and then they're going to have the coin toss. Didn't make sense. Now it makes sense.
Well, does anything make sense out of that? I mean, do you honestly think that fans are going to stop and really take this in and think, gee, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread? We're running out and then tossing the coin and the game's going to start. Do you honestly think that they'll give a rat's?
Well, St Kilda thinks and believes that that initiative is going to build up a crescendo of noise and excitement at the very, very first bounce.
Okay.
It's a series of innovations that the Saints are looking at, including, of course, the introducing, of course, this season, fans kick-to-kick session after Sunday games, which is pretty good. So they're just trying to do little things, Greg, something a little bit different, leaving it late to come onto the arena. So what they're saying is by the time they come onto the arena until the game starts, it's only going to be a matter of moments.
Yep.
Matter of moments. Yeah. So we'll hear from St Kilda fans and they'll tell us what they think. But I don't mind the fact that if the lights are dim, although I'm not quite certain whether how quickly the lights can be put
turned
on again
on,
and
yep.
turned back on in terms yep. of games. But I don't mind the idea of the lights being dimmed and maybe a spotlight and players running out, or even, an announcer saying, onto the field comes, Jobe Watson and Dustin Fletcher and things of that nature. I don't mind that. You're not warming to that at all, Greg?
Not really, no. No, not really. Particularly at that club, I'm not sure when those players will be running out onto the field, with any spotlight or not.
Well, we know that, Greg, but I'm saying that irrespective of who's in the team, You know, I don't think that's such a bad idea. Yeah. I think the fans actually enjoy that.
Look, I think that Port Adelaide set the trend last year, and to a lesser extent Adelaide, with their fan experience. I love the fact that Port sort of started a march from their Rundle Street Mall to the ground every time, and I think they got up to 8,000 people doing that. I think that's good. But sometimes I think the gimmicks just go too far. We don't want to have a gimmicky game. We just want a good game of footy, okay?
Okay, we'll take a break. 9429 1116 is our famous talkback number. What's on your mind in sport? You can always set the sporting agenda. What's on your mind in sport? 0433 98 1116. If you want to tweet at Kevin Bartlett 29, or you can tweet at Hungry for Sport. 9:21. Let's take your calls. 9429 1116. What's on your mind in sport? You can talk about anything that tickles your fancy. Mel is from Toorak. G'day, Mel.
Morning, guys. Good morning, Kevin and the. And Greg, the funniest man in football.
Good. Thanks, Mark.
Not according to some of the messages I get.
Hey, listen, this warming up rubbish, it's all out of rubbish anyway. Look, Terry Wallace did it, and all football clubs are like sheep. They all start to... Look, they warm up half an hour. The moment they start the quarters, they're all stuffed and warming up and slowing and cooling down and warming up. And look, just went on the ground and start playing. It's just rubbish anyway.
Well, in the, I suppose the players... Look, I don't think it's rubbish. I think coming out and having a kick and running around... For many years, we were locked up in change rooms and very small change rooms at suburban grounds. And, you know, you try and do a bit of running on the spot and, you know, a few stretching exercises. There was virtually no kicking until you actually got out to Waverley. When they built Waverley, they actually had, like, a big net, a runway where you could actually kick the ball into the net. And everyone thought that was fantastic. But Terry came up with the idea, why don't we just go out in the ground and have a kick beforehand? It was hard in the old days because we had the reserves, but when the reserves disappeared, it was a pretty good idea. And I think most people now think it's an integral part of a side, you know, preparing to play a game.
Well, they're still going to have a warm-up. It's just that it's going to be much earlier in the piece, and they'll finalise their warm-up in the rooms. So I presume that, obviously, their medical people and phys eds have all given it the all clear, and away they go.
Some of the SMSs are saying, so St Kilda wants to come out like footy of the old days, run through the banner, couple of 20-metre sprints, and on with the game. What's new? That's what happened in the old days.
Yeah,
exactly.
Of course, yeah.
Come out, run through the banner, a couple of little sprints, and then all of a sudden the coin was being tossed, and all of a sudden the game had started. Terry's from Caroline Springs. G'day, Terry.
G'day, gentlemen. How are we?
Good, Terry.
I think I've got a brilliant idea. Now, fair dinkum, we're talking about the AFL experience. We're talking about dancers, singers, lions on the ground. We're not there to watch Australia's Got Talent. We're there to watch football. If teams are competitive and they're playing a good style of football, fans will be engaged. People love the day. You know, we talk about Port Adelaide and their song at the start. Let me say, if Port Adelaide were not playing good football, their fans would not be that happy. It's got nothing to do with the song that they're singing. Yes, it's fun, but it's the quality of the football that makes us engaged and happy to be at the football.
Terry, is it all designed, basically, for the clubs that struggle to win a game to still get a crowd to the game? I mean, I'm not so sure. It's St Kilda are leading the way here with a few initiatives, and they will struggle to win games this year. I don't know what's happening with the experience, the fan experiences at North and the Bulldogs. Bulldogs in particular will struggle. They need every bit of excitement they can get there. I just wonder if it's a sort of a sidetrack to give people a football experience, knowing that you're not going to win that many games.
Also, Greg, tonight the 15-second shot clock is going to go up on the big scoreboard.
What is that? What is that all about? Honestly.
Well, just to give the fans an indication that if the player doesn't kick within that extra 15 seconds,
that's not right.
Will call
it's,
play
it's,
on.
No, it's the 15 seconds is eliminated once the player starts his run-up. So what is it?
Well, if he hasn't started his
run-up... So he's got 30 seconds, right? Right. So if he hasn't started his run-up...
Then the umpire's
on the 29th second...
Play on.
It's play on. So why the 15 second? I think it's a joke. It's just... That is a gimmick that will backfire and is stupid.
Okay, is the 15-second shot clock stupid, according to...
Well, it'll be interesting tonight, I suppose.
I don't know whether there's been a player who has been called to play on because they've taken longer than 30 seconds.
Only one, and it was nearly the greatest umpiring stuff-up last year that I've nearly ever seen, certainly for last year, and that was when poor old Tommy Hawkins had already started his run up well under the 30 seconds, and the umpire called play on. Oh boy.
Ahmed Saad is also down to play tonight, and we know Ahmed goes back a long, long way. But as long as he starts his run up or his walk in before 30 seconds is up, then he can take as long as he likes.
Well, he's had a fair time off to perfect it, Kevin, so you would hope that he's got it right if he gets the ball tonight.
There's also going to be a scoreboard explanation of reviews as well.
Yeah, that's all right.
Tonight.
That's good.
So that's good
anything
for the fans.
Anything that in that regard that keeps the fans in the picture, I think is good.
Matt's from Port Adelaide. G'day, Matt.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
Good, you?
Good, thank you. Terrific. Yeah, excellent. Nice to talk to you. Before I make my point, Greg, word has got back to Mark Bickley that he's not worth a wart on a bum.
Oh, no, that's... I was taking the mickey out of Mark Bickley.
I assume you got...
He's a very astute man.
Were you taking...
Mark Rusciuto had a crack at me. Mark Rusciuto had a crack at me too. Only mucking around. With a wink. Nudge and a wink,
so,
yeah.
Nudge and a wink.
Yes,
Matt,
it was.
You were fair dickon because he was asked... His opinion. He gave his opinion, Greg,
yes.
On what? What did he give his opinion on?
I can't even remember that.
And
you something, said, something else.
And you said,
club.
Who cares what Mark Bickley thinks?
Well, I was mucking around, Kevin.
You are mucking around, can you actually tell us you're mucking around?
You can talk. Some of your predictions, Kevin.
You're just backtracking, Greg.
No, I'm not. No.
You've been hammered by South Australian greats and you have gone to water.
I have not.
You have.
What's your point, Matt? Surely.
No, my point is about just the pre-match thing. I want to echo what you were telling the last caller about winning. It does help when you get all your ducks in the order, both on and off the field, and you, if you feel like your club's actually got some good direction. I mean, even before the 2013, the fans started coming back and we weren't looking like we were last year or even potentially this year. So, yeah, you know, he's absolutely right. But what happens too, it's also organically, just like... We were doing that march on 2013 Collingwood game. We did the march from Fed Square, and then it just built to the Rundle Mall thing. Things like never tear us apart. It's not like when we first started that first game of Showdown Round 2 last year. We didn't have suddenly scarves and putting them over our head. The song that Koshy just and the boys, they just played the song, and then over the next several weeks, amount of weeks, it built and just it became natural part of. Now it's part of us and. That's what clubs need to do. They can't just copy something. Otherwise, like you said, Greg, it becomes just fake and just really tacky instead of being a natural thing that the whole fans kind of... that it becomes part of the culture and the fans grab hold of and it's theirs, not something that they've been shoved down their throat by the corporate... kind of the corporate club part of it that we see at times today.
Yeah, no, I probably agree with that. I think that from even reading, we haven't even played a game in anger yet, Kev, and I think some of these things have gone overboard. I mean, I love the kick-to-kick with the kids, and I love the fact that fans can be more educated on the scoreboard, etc., and I love that you can play another song, whatever. But fair dinkum, some of it is just ridiculous. I mean, you know, my 12-year-old could have thought of those ideas.
I've got a great idea for the Bombers.
This will be good.
Now that Kevin Sheedy is back, and I know that they were talking about, I think, a fan experience with waving of the jacket or the scarf. But
yep.
I think that was spoken about before Kevin actually officially has come back to the club. But now that Kevin has officially come back to the club, what about at home games, maybe every game they play, but particularly home games, that Kevin walks out into the centre of the ground, stands on a dais there, and waves his jacket above his head, and then everyone in the crowd starts waving their jackets and their scarves.
Well, he'll probably
That'd be a fan day experience, because you'd be waiting for Sheeds to come out, and then he stands up, and then all of a sudden, the countdown clock goes from 10 to 0, and then Sheeds starts waving. Wouldn't that be great?
Well, he might
And then the theme song plays in the background.
He might do that if you go out and stand on a dais at Richmond games in the middle, and dish off a few handballs. I'd say you're both mad as each other.
Bickley's response, that's what it was. Thank you to the SMS machine there. It was when he made his response about Eddie's comments about winning the premiership. And you said, who cares what Mark Bickley says? He hasn't got a clue.
Don't repeat yourself. We've gone over that.
But you're trying to tell us now that you're joking.
Bickley is a very, very clever man. So if he says that whatever his comments were, I can't remember what he said about Eddie...
he was saying it was foolish.
Well,
they had no chance of winning the premiership.
Well, he's half right.
Okay, we'll take a break. 22 to 10, Greg's always brought you by the Spread Eagle Hotel, 372 Bridge Road in Richmond on the corner of Coppin Street. Of course, it's just a 10-minute walk from all the action at the MCG, so why not enjoy a quality meal before heading to the event of your choice at Melbourne's Sports Precinct. Lunch or dinner, be spoiled by the chef there, Freddie Keane. That's real Richmond hospitality. Drop in or contact the Spread Eagle Hotel on 94286895. Now, for those who want to kick a football, this weekend is the last chance to be in the running to win $1,000 and a concave 12-month subscription with the SEN Sharpshooter Competition. It's on Sunday, March the 22nd. Anthony Hudson will be there picking up footballs, and Cam Mooney will be at East Burwood Reserve at 11 a.m. for the last qualifier. Now, all you have to do is turn up on the day, kick straighter than Cam Mooney, and you could advance to the final at Icon Park, which is Princess Park, on March the 28th, the old Visi Park. There's plenty of prizes up for grabs, and kicking against Moons. Well, basically, we're just giving the stuff away. Let's go to Rob, who joins us from Strathmore. G'day, Rob.
G'day, boys. Greg, I was wondering if you could answer this question. It's a bit of if and but with the Essendon decision coming down, if Essendon win the case and then ASADA appeals, are Essendon risking, if it gets upheld, say they play against the Swans, are they risking that if the tribunal uphold the decision, are they risking that it will not be backdated? Does that make sense?
If ASADA or WADA or whatever appeal the case, if it goes against the Essendon players, I really don't know yet. We're learning on the run with a lot of stuff this in the last couple of years, and we're particularly this week in the Ryan Crowley case. But
I wouldn't think so, Rob.
If they're cleared to play, I would imagine
they can play.
I would have thought that the WADA appeal would be a separate process, and even that, I don't think they could be penalised further, Rob, because the WADA appeal could take months and months and months again. So I would have thought they probably could play.
No, it wouldn't hurt their backdating whatsoever if that was the case, Rob. If they got cleared, I mean, that'd be the best news for the Essendon Football Club. Matt is in Sydney. Just on that, we did see during the week, the Bombers are very, very confident through James Hurd and also Paul Little. But Keith Thomas came out yesterday from Port Adelaide, their CEO. He's a little bit concerned.
Well, I think that was the smartest comment I've heard for a while. I mean, it was a real reality check. Obviously, it's a 50-50 setup at the moment, and Keith Thomas is extremely worried that his two players that played for Essendon could be suspended. I think that the other two have gone on and on and on and on about how confident they are of their players being cleared, and I don't know on what basis they say that, whereas Keith Thomas actually spoke sense.
Matt is in Sydney. G'day, Matt.
Hey, guys. How are we?
Good, Matt. Are you?
Yeah, good, good. I've got a couple of points on this match day experience thing. One, I think it's a load of drivel, to be honest. If you need to hear music or fireworks to go watch a footy game, then maybe you should go to Moomba. The other point is, as a Saints supporter, like, we've always been behind the ball with the marketing side of things. And this thing, when I heard it, it just sounds like someone that's running late to hand in their homework, and they had to come up with something 5 minutes before it was due. And how about we run out on the ground 1 minute before the game starts? Like, all these experiences, or, you know, in talking mark experiences, are just stuff that we used to do normally, and now it's considered a match day experience. So it's just a load of rubbish, I reckon, to be honest.
Yeah, my worry is that these clubs that are doing this, I tend to agree with you, Matty, but are they taking the eye off the ball of other things that are far more important, because this is the flavour of the month and we've got to now beat the next club and have the best match day experience? I'm not so sure if the best match day experience isn't going out there and giving the opposition a decent flogging and you walk home as happy as Larry.
Greg, I want to ask you about spying. We're told today in the Age that spying pack threatens to collapse, that many years ago that the coaches got together back around about 2009 and decided that if you had a closed session, that there'd be no spies. But it seems we have read recently, I think, where Frio's had to get rid of a spy. I think Richmond's had to chase a spy out of Punt Road. So all the coaches, this pact they had about not spying on closed sessions, obviously has fallen apart, and now maybe it's just open slather.
Well, should it just be dog eat dog like it used to be in the old days? And I'm not so. I'd like to hear from supporters who being deprived, maybe, of going to training regularly because of so many closed sessions now. Like some clubs, it didn't really matter. I remember when North were in their heyday with Uncle Dennis down there, and they were winning flags, and you'd get three or four people turn up at Arden Street. So it didn't sort of stop them. But I'm wondering if it affects fans who would like to take their kids down, and there's too many closed sessions. But gee whiz, there's been some humorous incidents over the years.
Well, wasn't there one where someone dressed up as a worker or something out at Waverley?
Well, I remember writing a story years ago when Dave Dunbar, or as the Australian called him at the time, Detective Dave Dunbar, was unbelievable. I mean, he once disguised himself.
Who was he working for? Melbourne, was he?
Melbourne at the time. He's with Brisbane now. But I can remember him at one stage dressing up as a plumber and putting up some surveying equipment at Waverley, which was actually a camera. So he filmed the whole session, and I think that he had a run-in with Alistair Clarkson, and that started this so-called gentleman's agreement. But the same bloke, I remember also, down at Gosh's paddock, he gave a bloke a slab of beer, I think, a council worker, and borrowed his ride-on lawnmower and put a camera on the handlebars and filmed the whole lot of Collingwood's training session in a fluorescent jacket and a pair of sunglasses, so he wasn't recognised.
But you can't have a closed training session at Gosh's paddock.
Well,
you just but stand under there and you just watch Greg.
Well, yeah, but they sort of try and kick you out, even if you are just standing and watching. I reckon the
public land down there. Greg. I don't think
the same bloke, Kevin, climbed a tree at the Western Witten Oval, and the branch, he fell out because the branch broke. But one of his better ones was going to Essendon. Of course, it was hard to sort of get into Windy Hill at the time. He did two things. I remember him swimming laps every second night and trying getting out just as if because they shared the pool with the public out there at Windy Hill, and talking to players in the cafe afterwards about you playing, how you going, thinking that he was a fan. And I think he joined the croquet club that used to be next door for $25. That was the annual subscription. And used to sit there at the window and just film the whole lot anyway. So, I mean, he was the king, if you can better that. They tell me there's one club now. Now, I can't believe this, but there's one club that set up cameras at opposition training venues and just sits in the car park and watches it all on their computers. Now, I can't believe they'd go to that expense, but that is the rumour going around at the moment. But there's no doubt that, say, Hawthorn are the most watched club with their training. I mean, most
coaches...
You can't
have a closed session at Hawthorn. I mean, it's surrounded by units and...
I think people have actually hired or rented a unit out for 6 months, haven't they, and just sat there on the balcony and had a cup of tea and watched training. But
There's a cafeteria. You can sit in the cafeteria and sit outside the cafeteria and have a coffee and watch people train.
Yeah, well, I don't know, but it's certainly... And it's follow the leader, but most clubs that I speak to have followed Hawthorn and Port Adelaide's training.
Like to ask the fans, do they like the idea? Let's not have a gentleman's agreement. But if you can spy on the opposition... Is that a bit of fun? Is that part of the intrigue of the game? And if you catch him, you know, throw him out of the ground? I mean, I'd like to ask the fans. I mean, is spying, should it be part of the game? 94291116. Welcome back. 9:09. One of the SMSs says, whatever happened to the trumpeter at the Melbourne home games? That was a fan day experience. That's from Stephen. Now, I don't know whatever happened to the trumpeter. I can sort of recall a trumpeter. So if you know anything about the trumpeter that used to be at Melbourne games, was he behind the goals or was he close to the members? But somehow I can remember. I reckon he had a jacket on too. Maybe it was like a Melbourne jacket. That's only somewhere in the back of my mind.
He may well have got the Tijuana brass, Kev.
Oh, thank you, Greg. Well done. Herb Albert, wasn't it? Was that his name?
It was.
Tijuana brass?
Yep.
So if you know anything about that trumpeter at Melbourne, give us a buzz. And when it was, can't remember the last time the trumpeter actually played at Melbourne. George joins us from Northcote. G'day, George.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Look, just a couple of points I want to make in regards to match day experience.
Yes.
I don't know why fans complain and say, oh, you know, how do we go with copying another club and take their idea? If supporters go to a match, say, Port Adelaide, and they see what they do there, they complain that they say, oh, their club does nothing. And when the club tries to replicate it, they're up in arms and saying, oh, you know, what can we come up with our idea? At least they're coming up with something. Because I know St Kilda, back in 2009... we're talking about coming up with a theme song before a game when they won the 20 games straight, having the New Orleans Saints theme song coming up, The Saints Are Coming or Never Walk Alone. So you have to give the clubs a break to try and do something for their supporters.
Well, as I said, there's enough. I think, yes, there's a room for great fan day experience, which we saw in Adelaide last year. But let's not go overboard and let's not try and better the next club. Let's just have something the fans enjoy. But as I said before, the only enjoyment really is when that final siren goes and you've got the 4 points.
But it's an additive, isn't it? I mean, if you're, I mean, we know the game is the main focus, but if other things happen before the game or after the game or, you know, half time, that's got to be good for the game, surely.
Well, as long as it's not something that's manufactured and overboard, like some of these initiatives now that we've talked about today are just.
Although there are some ridiculous fans, Greg, and if you're in that. Group, you can give us a buzz or send through an SMS who believe that at different stages they like a bit of peace.
Post-mortem of the first half.
So they can, you know...
Talk to their mates
sit down
about
next and talk
who's
to the
playing
mate.
Well. And, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that.
Read the footy record and, you know, not have, you know, things blaring at you. So if you're in that camp, give us a buzz, 9429 1116. Dan wants to talk about spies in footy. G'day, Dan.
Morning, KB. Morning, Greg.
G'day,
morning,
pal.
So... I mean, with the spying thing, I mean, in reality, I mean, what are spies going to learn? I mean, the top clubs, you know what they're going to do week in, week out. They do it well. You know their patterns. You can get it from their match day footage. I mean, I don't know how much benefit there is to actually spying a closed session.
And also how much they believe too, Dan, because I reckon there was a time when Richmond were playing and Terry Wallace decided that he was going to play Matthew Richardson as a wingman, and they went through the training drills down at, obviously, Punt Road, and the spy for the opposition club passed it on to the club that maybe there was a chance that he'd be playing on the wing, or, in fact, he would be playing on the wing, and the club just completely ignored it and said, well, that'd be rubbish. They took no notice of it, so they thought it was just a ploy by Terry to sort of throw him off the scent.
In fact,
or something else.
I do remember that. And
it was best on the ground.
I can't remember why. But I reckon you were training at Victoria Park at the time. I can't remember why.
Okay.
And that word did come through that Richo's going to play on a wing this weekend. And obviously the opposition just laughed. And I reckon he was BOG and played there for quite a while after that. It was very successful as a wingman.
Also, Greg, we had a lot of talk recently saying about maybe post-game experience for the fans. And that was the coaches who were going to sit alongside each other. Fox Footy was talking about from the AFL Coaches Association about paying $500,000 to have that plan go ahead. Well, that's been knocked on the head by the AFL. Chief Broadcaster, Simon Lethlean, has informed all the clubs that an agreement in principle between the Coaches Association and Fox Footy will not go ahead, definitely will not go ahead, and said coaches and clubs were reminded it was not their place to broker broadcasting agreements with the major networks.
Well, that's right, because that was, I think, $500,000 that was going to go to the Coaches Association. Mick Malthouse was... the main opponent to it, but it's not going ahead. And it's neither here nor there, Kev. I think it was probably a good idea in for certain games, but I think no one will really worry about that.
As we go to the break, this SMS says, Gary Ablett Sr. used to be a match day experience. You can always catch up with Greg down at the Spread Eagle Hotel, 372 Bridge Road in Richmond on the corner of Coppin Street. Of course, the Spread is just 10 minutes walk from the MCG. Have a magnificent lunch or dinner down there. Be spoiled by their chef, Freddie Keane. And don't forget, real Richmond hospitality. Always just drop in or contact the Spread Eagle Hotel on 9428 6895. Greg, some of the SMSs are saying when you do take young kids to the footy, having plenty of entertainment can be a godsend.
I always say packet of snakes wins over all the time.
Others say hallelujah, the peace during the break, so I don't want to have to yell over music just to talk to my friends who are sitting next to me. I'm okay with just watching the footy.